As Quakers, one of our hallmarks is that we are committed to following the leadings of the Spirit. And that is particularly evident in worship. It is one reason we leave space for those leadings to emerge in the middle of worship, either in God's stories or just in the listening that comes later as we listen to and invite God to speak directly to us. Sometimes those leadings come early in the week. Sometimes they even come weeks ahead, and I know that there's something that I must bring and share with you, and I am prepared. I generally prepare a message and come with that, and I do have a message that I brought with me this morning. But that is always up for change. Every Sunday, it's up for change. I never hold it, as a I must. It is always at the invitation of the Spirit to do what the Spirit chooses to do. And that can be, as the wind blows, we don't always know where it's going to come from. But I always want to hear the Spirit. And we've been talking about a holy obedience and really being obedient to that still small voice that nudges us in many, many ways. And I'm really grateful that there was one of those nudgings that happened early this morning as Jan was listening and was thinking about the God story that she wanted to share. Just God did a spirit dump, she says. And she got more than just a God story. And so I have set aside the message because I want to hear what the Spirit has said. And so I've invited Jan to share that with us this morning and to give her the time of the message. Because this is what we're really about, is listening to the Spirit. It's not any one of us in particular. It's about the Spirit and what the Spirit has to say to us. And that's what we as Quakers are about.
It's true. I started out with one God story, and then that led to another God story, which led to a page of what God has been saying and doing. And I went, oh my gosh, this is sermon length. This isn't God story length. So I bounded into Lorraine this morning early and said, scale of 1 to 10, how much are you glued to your message? And we decided that this was faithfulness. I've been traveling the last few weeks, and every place that I travel and do retreats, Mark, I'm going to need some water. Could you? I learn something. I learn another piece. And then events happen, and you learn another piece. And so this isn't a kind of an organized sermon. Rather, it is a prime the pump of those pieces that have been coming to you and an opportunity to start putting those together, okay? And so I have this piece, and I have this piece, and I have this piece, and you'll see how they start to go like this. I think the first thing is the first God story that I was going to do. You know that we're kind of semi-famous for making fear not buttons. And when we were doing the fear not buttons, I thought that I needed a companion button, one that said, practice goodness. And so for a while, oh my, we're having a whole yes. Banquet of water. Thank you. Wow, thank you. And so for a while, I wore two buttons side by side, practice goodness and fear not. And then after a while, the fear not button dropped off, and practice goodness is the one that stayed on my leather jacket that I would wear. And as I watch, I mean, people really responded. They didn't respond, oh, some responses to fear not, but to practice goodness, people, their eyes lit up. Something happened in their emotions, and clerks and passerbyers and people would respond to this practice goodness, and kind of with this, oh, yes, yes, recognition. Well, I was in Macy's this last week, and of course I forget that I have the button on because it's just on the jacket. And the Macy's clerk had one of those, oh, yes. And she said, where did you get that button? I want one. And I said, at my church. And she went, oh. And I said, now here, I was a little dumb. I mean, I was not thinking. I did not do that first. I said, oh, I'll have my pastor make you one. And then we had this long conversation about what hours did she work and which department did she work in. And, you know, I was going to bring this button back that Lorraine was going to make. And I got on with my shopping and I went, duh, Jan, that's dumb. Go give her your button. So I walked back and I handed her the button. And she had several people in line. And I said, really, really? You're giving this to me? Oh, my, will you be able to get another one? And she just, and that set off a chain reaction with everybody that was in line. And then she immediately put it on and said, this is important. Practice goodness. And that went like, you know, little ripples down. And I watched that, and my first thought was, oh, we might be well served to have a lot more practice goodness buttons and have North Seattle Friends Church right down there on the bottom. I mean, this is silly not to have a little bit of where you can find people that this is important. So that's one piece. Practice goodness is finding resonance in people right now in the world we're living in. Then I was in at Whittier, California last week. I have to use this grand setup. I'm farther along in my cold than you are, but it's still evident sometimes. I was the speaker, workshop leader for the Quaker Forum for Whittier Friends Church, and then preached on Sunday morning. And it was clear to me in these times that we are in that we are being assaulted by spirit. This is not just a political matter that we're facing now. There is a spirit assault against goodness. And frankly, on a spirit assault, you can do legal things, you can do political things, but this is the work of the church, to be gathered to meet the challenge of an assault of evil. And the secular way of saying it is Kathleen Parker of the Washington Post said, malevolent spirits have been let loose in our nation. Now, we as Quakers know that what overcomes evil? It was the Quaker movement was started with George Fox sitting on the top of Pendle Hill, which is in England, which happened to be the Hill of the Witches. This is where the witches would gather and the covens and the witchcraft was kind of a center of witchcraft. And he was sitting on the top of the hill, and he was a very sensitive, discerning man, and he saw an ocean of darkness, just terrible, terrible, oppressive darkness. And he was despairing while he was contemplating that, and then he saw like a tsunami. In the quote, it's an ocean of love and light, but I would say it's a tsunami. A tsunami of love and light that just washed over the evil and washed it away. And so it is a basic premise of We as Friends that goodness overcomes evil. So when we say, practice goodness, every act of goodness is a little ding in the power of evil. However, everybody in this room has been doing goodness, and it's scattered here, and it's scattered there, and it's scattered there, and it never amounts to anything. No, that's not true. It amounts to something, but it is not gathered to be a visible force. So one of the things that I was starting with at Whittier Friends was that in this time, our call is to be a self-aware, gathered, intentional, assertive power of goodness. That the church has to think differently about itself. We're not just a gathering here where you can come and you can be a spectator and you can come at 11 and if you feel like it and if you have nothing else to do, we have to reorganize and gather ourselves to be a working, and this is the word that came out of the Whittier gathering that I'm loving, and that is a force of goodness. That coming, being part of any church, but particularly North Seattle Friends, is to say, I want to actively be part of the force of goodness in the world at this time. Wow. So that changes the invitation. The invitation isn't, oh, come worship with us at North Seattle Friends because it's a good experience. It is, do you feel the pull of goodness? Do you want to make a difference in this world? Come join us. Come together. Become part of a force of goodness that is visible, intentional, self-aware, assertive, and gathered. Then, I was at Port Townsend meeting the week before. And at Port Townsend meeting, I was doing a gifts retreat. One of the things that came out of that particular gathering, particularly the couple that I was staying with in their home, was that evil arranges itself to scatter and divide people. And that the very act of gathering is resistance to evil. The very fact that we're sitting in this room together today is another little chip out of evil. That their modus operandi is to scatter, to make us separate, to keep us from being connected and gathered. Okay, so we have those three parts. Those were the three, kind of, or maybe there are four, I'm not sure, distinct pieces. Then there was another one. And that one was one that's kind of personal, and those of you that are visitors, this is an inside feeling. But here we are, as a church, standing at the precipice of having a totally new, wonderful location and building. Beyond our wildest expectations, nothing that we ask for or sought, and it is coming to be. The due diligence on the property will be done at the end of the month, and the property in Shoreline will be secured for us. The architect is drawing plans, and there are floor plans that are developing and exterior that are exciting. And this is happening, and at the same time, we're dwindling as in size. And this morning I woke up and I thought, we have so much to offer the world at this time. This cannot be that we are dwindling, and that this thing which is set before us, ready for us to walk into at the due time, we are dwindling. And I heard myself saying, God, it wouldn't hurt so bad in our world situation, in our national situation, if North Seattle Friends were thriving. That would make such a huge difference right here, right here. And that's when the dump came. This dump of, okay, I hear you, here's some things you can do. So I'm not putting these out as these, this is the word of the Lord, this is what we have to do. But they're kind of exciting to me. So one is for us to look around our circle of acquaintances, our friends, and say, not where does somebody need a church, but is there anyone in our circle of friends that we could invite to be part of this team, to be a force of goodness? Is there anyone who would have heart to join such an endeavor as a gathered group? Oh, I've already done that. I've already started with two couples that I know that would be incredible if they were so led to join us. So rather than sitting and waiting, oh dear God, please do bring somebody. Who do you know? Who do you know that would love to be part of goodness at this particular time in history? Then I was thinking about the power of the buttons, the power of the words. And I've been toying with things like kindness and goodness are spoken here. But some way to get the message of who we are. I love that song, to act in justice, to love tenderly. So I had to stand. To walk humbly with God. I mean, that's us. That's who we want to be. That's our DNA. Who could resist that? And part of the thing I was talking about at Whittier, was branding. Now, branding, people go, oh, don't talk about the church and branding. But we have to talk about the church and branding. We have been branded. We have let ourselves be branded. The church is irrelevant. The church is irrelevant, and I'm a nun. Isn't that it? Isn't that what you say, Danny? I'm a nun?
Well, nuns and duns.
Nuns and duns. It's over. The church is cruel. Christians are cruel. What's some of the other branding that we've let folks brand us with? Hypocrite. What else? Judgmental. Yep. What else? Ineffective. Fundamentalist. And mainstream, they know they're not fundamentalists, but then they say they're irrelevant. Dying. Right? Now, we Quakers are still getting good press from all those years that we wore gray and had plain speech. We were branded that when anything good happened that a Quaker did, Quakers got credit. A person set up a totally innovative home for the mentally ill, and we get written in the history books that we started the first humane movement for the mentally ill because we were Quakers. Now, I know Presbyterians probably did a lot of good things, but we never hear about it because it wasn't branded. Quakers especially fall in this trap because one of our favorite lines are, just let your life speak. You don't have to say words. The best message, talk if you have to. And so consequently, we are not branded for goodness and kindness. We are not branded for being a force of goodness in the world. We have to start identifying and branding. That's why I want North Seattle Friends on the bottom of that sticker. We have to start getting out there saying, this is who we are. This is who we want to be. This is who we are inviting you to be with us. We will journey with everybody on their spiritual quest. We will walk. We care about Jesus. We care about Scripture. We care about theology. But that is to be discovered under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in journey with God's people. What we are inviting is a force of goodness. So, I was imaging a banner outside on the building. I don't know what it says, but something that speaks to what our branding is. And then I thought, well, I was playing this morning with all kinds of phrases, all kinds of bylines. But then I thought, you know, it's not my job to choose this. Why don't we have a contest with a real prize, one that would be fun to have? And why don't we have a contest to decide to choose what our campaign for goodness, for branding goodness would be? And we can do that with a banner. I first thought about the newspapers, and I thought, that's really expensive. Let's start with a banner. And then I watch a lot of Shark Tank, and those businesses start on Facebook. And I thought, well, let's do a Facebook campaign. If everybody on Facebook had a sort of a guide to a campaign, and we had a byline, we had an invitational, it was invitational, we could do a Facebook campaign. There are others, but I started thinking, you know, all this is possible. This isn't far-fetched. It just means that we reorganize ourselves. We re-see ourselves. We reconnect ourselves to let the world know that there are folks that really care, that really will be a rapid response team to injustice, that really want to journey with everybody, no exceptions. And then there are some immediate things that you can do, that we could do. In Meeting for Learning, the Meeting for Learning classes is studying Walter Wink's Engaging the Power and the Powers That Be, right? And I was with that group for a few weeks and developed a one page, so what do we do now? Just sort of a collection of Walter Wink, Jan Wood concepts that help guide how we live right now to overcome evil. And that's been circulating outside of Meeting for Learning. In fact, I'm starting to have people invite folks into their living room and do kind of a Saturday seminar, a morning, lunch, afternoon, that's talking through and discussing and praying over that Walter Wink, Jan Wood material. That's very exciting. I can do that at a drop of a hat if you have a group of friends that want to gather in your living room. Another is our e-newsletter on Good News Associates. It's not out yet because I haven't written it, but in a few days, the Seeds article will be on the same material. How do we now act? How do we now proceed to be a force of goodness? And for those of you that aren't familiar with Good News Associates, Google Good News Associates, and up we come. And on the web, the home page, you'll see Seeds as one of the menu items. And you just click that, and there you are. Mark and best friend Brian has done a lot of internet gaming and developing. Is he a programmer, or is he the business part? Yeah. I've been dreaming about having a computer game for kids that that has choices about goodness, and when you hit goodness, when you hit the obstacle with goodness, it dissolves. I don't expect it should explode, but it should dissolve. And what would it be like if our website and if our Facebook pages had links for children's games that started to promote goodness as an active choice in life to dissolve obstacles? How cool would that be? Maybe Nate could develop it for us. We have people if we start saying, who has a heart to do this? Yes? Who? Oh, okay. Okay. I don't have a tidy ending for this. I think let's open it, and if God is raising other thoughts, subtractions, additions, as we sit in the silence, let's add them. Beth, you have the microphone, right? Is it Beth or Mark? One of you. And let's see what else, I mean, since this is just a spirit dump in me, let's see what the spirit dump in you sounds like.